You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
I'm delighted to have on board Liam Hare. He's a lawyer, a political commentator, and he's also one of the key authors of what's known as the Blue Review. It's a newsletter available on Substack. It touches on, as you might expect, politics and cultural issues of the day. So I really encourage you to check that out. But Liam, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, I'm delighted. I think people get sick and tired of me giving my political views on things. So it's good to have not only someone else, but someone of your own, skills. You're a well-respected political commentator these days. And, you know, a lot of the focus, a lot of the political discussion at the moment seems to be around the accusations of the Maori Party. So I wondered, for the sake of listeners, could you explain a little bit of what's going on there? What's the scandal that's been accused?
Well, first of all, can I just say, I'm certainly not sick of hearing your voice. I think it's great what you're doing in terms of post-elective politics for the time being. It's just fantastic that you're taking the knowledge and the skills that you've got from that world and bringing it to bear, to benefit the rest of us. So I'm appreciative of that.
Thank you. I've never been able to take compliments very well. I'm far too used to being attacked.
I cringe, and I grew up in one of those families where we were just always giving each other a hard time, and so any sort of compliments were always you're always checking them for danger. Where's the hidden thing in them, and not in a bad way, but just in the way that some families are. You know,
I can relate to that. Yeah, well, I've been used to being attacked.
Fortunately, I don't get too many compliments.
Right.
As far as Te Pāti Māori go, it's fascinating to me. It's absolutely fascinating because that party has gone through so many versions of itself. It's like the Madonna in the pop star, not the religious sense of New Zealand politics, right? So it was formed as this protest party against the Foreshore and Seabed Act, and then improbably merged into a what you would call a unashamedly establishment party, in terms of the fact, sort of the reason for it existing was to always be in and around the establishment and always have the proverbial seat at the table. And then
You'd be thinking those were the days of Tariana, Turia, and Peter Sharples in particular. Yeah.
At Flavel. But then sort of, got wiped out, and it kind of like had a Chapter 11 bankruptcy, as they might have called it in the States, or a liquidation. And it sort of passed into new management, right? And it's sort of been passed into this new management where it's gone in this often this radical bomb throwing direction. And one of the issues is that as it's evolved in this way, it's found itself constantly pushing on an open door. So there are things that if any other political party had members saying the types of things that the Māori Party says routinely, those people would be drummed out of politics and the party would be on the back foot. But for whatever reason, we just haven't had that kind of scrutiny applied to TPM, as it's now known. The initialism is now quite common. Pushing on an open door, you make a comment about how the New Zealand government was, hell-bent on exterminating Māori or something like that, and, no real response. And by the way, just to remember, they made the accusation against Jacinda Ardern's government too, but no pushback, no scrutiny really from the media. There would be some belated reporting, but that reporting would always include a sort of a contextualization. And what happens? A weakness is a provocation, right? So they're provoked to becoming to be more and more extreme because there's just no consequence to it. And you see, therefore, I think a lack of discipline compared to other parties.
Oh, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. I mean, granted, as a former politician, if any of my colleagues, particularly on the likes of National Act or New Zealand, actually Labour, any of them but the Maori Party had said the things that they have, or had I published a Facebook post with guns in it, I don't think I'd last 5 minutes.
No, I mean, you would get in trouble for liking something on Facebook, which a solid block of the country was behind you on, and that was beyond the pale. And yet, yeah, it's really, really noticeable. What has happened since is that it seems like that kind of the kid gloves have also been applied by the public sector in New Zealand, right? And so, you know, we have had revelations from a whole lot of different sort of areas. We had Philip Crump, the from Twitter and New Zealand ZB Plus, sort of plug. He's always been plugging away, trying to get documents and finding out the figures for things. And you know, then you had Andrea Vance sort of drop the bombshell a couple of weeks ago about the serious allegations of data misuse, including you know, the claim that data was misused by organizations within the orbit of Te Pāti Māori, and that people who were involved in it in those organizations blew the whistle on those organizations, with the public sector agencies doing nothing to follow up, really. And so it sort of feels like that same sort of spirit of indulgence has been extended. And it's always hard and fraught to try and attribute motivations to things. But I've always felt, in talking to journalists off the record sometimes too, that you know, there has been this hesitancy of calling out Te Pāti Māori because of the inevitable blowback that you're going to get, right? So you'll be accused of being racist, which is just such a toxic accusation to level against someone. And you know, it has created a real fear, and within that sort of fear, you know, it looks like stuff has happened that shouldn't have happened, and stuff that could have been nipped in the bud a long time ago has been allowed to fester and grow and become a habit.
Oh, it's remarkable. I mean, look, I'm allowed to use the H word now, hypocrisy. I'm out of parliament. I mean, the hypocrisy's galling to me, of what the Māori Party often call out of excesses that they perceive in government. And by the way, they're welcome to call out what they want to. They're welcome to set up their own parliament. I think you actually wrote about that. That probably inspired some of my thinking. That, you know, it's a free speech, they're welcome to. But, you know, when they talk about, well, as I say, these very extreme comments, but now what, and I have to stress this, it's only alleged at the moment, but what looked like pretty, I was going to say, corrupt processes. I mean, in effect, for listeners to understand, and correct me, Liam, long and short, that they've been accused, particularly through the Manurewa Marae, of accessing data that was being used during, is it COVID, being collected by Statistics New Zealand. They've taken, if you will, people's data being handed over to government.
Yeah. So there are a couple of ways that it's come about, right? So, in the first place, there's the census and there's the vaccination. So, as part of the vaccination drive, you know, and I appreciate that a lot of people who might be listening to you have some issues with the vaccination issue, but as part of the drive for that vaccination numbers to come up, the government of the day engaged with the Whānau Ora Commissioning Agency, which is one of these sort of affiliated organisations. You know, the sort of John Tamahere sitting in the middle of all of this. He's the related person to all of it. Information was provided to that organisation to help with the vaccination drive. Conditions were imposed in terms of data security, and yet somehow that information made its way, it's alleged, into the hands of Te Pāti Māori, who used it for campaigning purposes. Then there's the census, right? And so again, very much the same sort of idea, the idea being that the government needed to engage with civil society groups like the Marae to ensure that the census was completed as fully as possible. And so the census was involved in gathering information. The accusation is that the census information was photocopied and sent to Te Pāti Māori, and again used for campaigning purposes, and which is, you know, disgraceful. It's, you know, it's a misuse of state resources. It's a breach of privacy, and it's actually a pretty bad scandal if it turns out to be true. And I guess the thing is, now that we've got all these investigations going on, about 8 or 9 of them, we will find out, hopefully, if it is true or not.
Yeah, and I mean, as part of the context too, and correct me if I'm wrong, but who was then the chief executive or the leader of the Marae is now a Māori Party MP, right? Pukutai Tash Kemp. And she beat, Actually, one of my old work colleagues, Penny Hanade, this is our work colleague. Penny and I worked in the Ministry of Social Development together years Parliament. But she beat him by 42 votes. So I think, you know, again, for listeners to understand that if this is true, that the use of this, if it will, crown or state governmental data probably had a material impact on the the outcome of an election.
So all of this comes in the, it's not isolated, right? And so in addition to the data breaches, there have been accusations over the last while about, inappropriate use of, multi-party livery and things like that in promotional and public service communications by the marae, all sort of at the moment of an allegation stage, and just to stress that nothing's been proved, and allegations are often made that don't pan out, but it's just that there are so many different allegations from so many different angles, and sitting in the middle of it, you've got John Tamihere, of course, and everything's 1 or 2 degrees of separation from him, and the Waipiriero Trust, which itself has a history of financial accusations being made against it going way back to the Clark government.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's another whole element within all of this, is just the sheer amount of money that's going through that trust. But do you think the Prime Minister said that there is an independent review now, but this is my opinion, but it's been done by the Public Service Commission. Is that actually independent in your mind, or in my thinking, it should have been a retired judge or someone who was called in to be truly independent, or am I overcooking, overthinking situation?
You and I are of one mind on that. All these different agencies have been doing their own, who commenced their own investigations, which they, should have done a long time ago. But, when the thing gets a certain momentum in the news, it becomes impossible to avoid. And so you have all these different investigations in which essentially they're marking their own homework, right? Like there's no, the incentive, of course, if you are investigating yourself, is to find that at the most, mistakes were made and there are opportunities for learnings. And so what the Prime Minister has announced is for the Public Service Commission to do a overall investigation into those public sector agencies. And it does kind of seem weird at first instance that you'd have that entity doing the review, because that entity doesn't have any, the Public Sector Commission doesn't have any oversight of political parties. But when you remember that the focus is on, have the individual government departments and agencies acting properly, it kind of makes sense. But I guess there still is the issue, right, of, Wellington's a small place. It's, incredibly incestuous, if I can use that word. Personality conflicts and friendships and relationships, across the whole city.
Yep, 100%.
And I agree with you that, you want, ideally, instead of having the public sector looking into itself and reporting on itself, you'd be much better off getting someone who has unimpeachable credentials as a sort of a puritanical, incorruptible, highly respected person who will make an authoritative sort of finding on all the issues,
beyond reproach. I wrote about it last week, granted, to do with the American situation and the court cases there with Trump and Biden, and how, it, in my view, it's all become what they call it, political lawfare. Yeah. It's like we just can't have any perception here, because my sense is that the Māori Party will attack if there's any evidence implicating, and they'll make claims that this is a corrupt colonial government having a go at them, and so it has to be beyond reproach.
And so what's really interesting is the Māori Party have, of course, asked the police to investigate. I was on RNZ the other night with Bryce Edwards, and Bryce said that one of his reservations about that, of course, is that you don't get to, for good reason, you don't get to choose who investigates you. And the New Zealand police have a long history, of course, of being quite averse to making robust decisions when it comes to political parties and political controversies, and deciding, who to prosecute, who not to. They're just very conservative about that. And, of course, we can all remember the embarrassing situation where the Prime Minister of New Zealand was, according to the police, prima facie guilty of art forgery or something like that. But it wasn't under public interest to take it further.
That's right. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. Signing a painting that she didn't do. And then, you know, of course, someone purchased it thinking that McCallum Clark had painted that. And the police said, yeah, there's a prima facie case to answer for here, but look, it's not in the public interest. And, you know, I think the Bryce was getting at, and I think there might be something to it, is that it's, you know, the police have a real reluctance, you know, and not without reason, to get involved in political controversies. So I am with you 100%. I think the situation calls for someone who is beyond reproach, someone who's unimpeachable authority and character, to make an overall report into the whole situation, not just elements of it that are convenient.
Well, I'm pleased I'm not the only one thinking that. I thought at one moment I might be going a bit crazy or had missed something. Hey, Liam, no. I'm incredibly grateful for your talk. We're going to have to get you back on if you're available, but I'm going to have to move on. But I'm just, again, grateful for your insight and explaining what's happening.
Anytime, I'd love to come back, so just let me know.
Fantastic. Everyone, that was Liam Hare, as I say, lawyer, political commentator, and if you haven't checked out his Substack Blue Review, I'd encourage you to do so.
Are you loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it, and right now they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.